Sounds like very nice. Inshallah, that would be nice. And you gotta really listen to that though. You're not listening. Every 5 minutes you're getting up and disappearing from class, you feel like you're running out of the week. That's not good, that's not a good time.
Those are done, inshallah, and come forward. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. And then we welcome everyone to our third day of the Shema'il, mashallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us these beautiful characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow us to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and practice the Sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. We are continuing on the chapter of the living of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his general livelihood, and exactly how he used to live in his home. We went through amazing hadith yesterday. We're going to continue this chapter, inshallah. Hopefully, inshallah, complete it today. I'm passing around, inshallah, the Mubarakah. If anyone else needs, alhamdulillah, because we want our gatherings to smell beautiful. So hopefully Allah will accept this gathering, inshallah ta'ala. We want to make this a means for us to enter in Jannah to Firdaus with Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mashallah, we'll continue. We went over the hadith of Sa'ad of the Anu last about how little they ate, and we learned the lesson of when people do the actions of deen and practice deen, Allah ta'ala will honor them. Maybe in the beginning of their life they find difficulty, but at the end of their life Allah ta'ala will honor them. Sa'ad of the Anu was someone who was the sixth person who accepted Islam. And he went through so many difficulties for the sake of Allah. He was made a governor at the end. But even though you may reach a high position, it does not mean that you're exempt or free from people abusing or speaking bad about you. Criticism, no one is safe from. Not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is safe from it. Allah, they said what? The worst thing about Allah, Allah has a son. Right, so they said that if you're thinking you live a life without tuhmat, you're living in a fantasy. Life is always going to be people going to make fun of you or make insult you or something like that. But we have to become strong people knowing how to deal with it. May Allah grant this understanding. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, so we'll continue now inshallah. وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه عتبة بن غزوان رضي الله عنه وقال انطلق أنت ومعك حتى إذا كنتم في أقصى بلاد العرب. So this is a similar narration to the one we spoke about yesterday on Sa'ad رضي الله عنه. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, he sent out عتبة بن غزوان and he said to him, you go, you and whoever is with you, until you reach the most, he says, إذا كنتم في أقصى بلاد العرب وأدنى بلاد العجم. He says, go as far as you can until you reach the most remote countries of the Arabs and the nearest of the countries to the non-Arabs, saying, go as far as you can, meaning go as far as the Arabs have gone and go as close as you can to the non-Arabs. In other words, to do what? To fight for the sake of Allah and give da'wah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they continued and continued and continued until they reached a place called Mirbad. And they found there this soft white stone. And they said, what is this? They said, this is the city of Basra. Basra is all in the area of Iraq and Iran, mashallah. They went all the way that far because why? To give the da'wah of Islam. And so when Utba ibn Ghazwan, he goes there, the Persian Empire, they send an army to him and they belittle him. They tell Utba that your army, your soldiers are so few, you're not going to be able to handle us. Utba said, we'll see on the battlefield. And so then they send so many soldiers against the small little group that Utba brought with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to whoever he wants. So they give victory to Utba radiallahu anhu. And when they conquered that area, they made that place. He said, with our own hands, we built that city of Basra. And so they continued to build and build and build and build. They made it, mashallah, and they constructed it. And once they constructed it, he goes and says, he explains to everyone, because now he was also made a governor. And he goes and says, well, inni lasabi'u sab'atin. I was the seventh person who accepted Islam with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma lana ta'amun illa waraqu shajar. He says, we did not have any food except for the tree leaves that we used to eat. And when we used to eat these leaves, and hatta taqarra hatta ashdaquna, until the sides of our mouths had ulcers on them because of the difficulty at that time. And this is the type of person I was. He goes and says, and we had nothing to wear. So in order for our clothes to fit, so I decided to take my burda, my cloak. I cut it in half. I give half for myself and half for Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. This is the type of difficulty they went through. He says, there's none from amongst us from those seven that accepted Islam, except that he was made a governor of a certain area. You're complaining about us. He says, you're complaining about us. You'll see how governors are after us. He says, test the governors after us. Who can be as great as Sahaba radiallahu anhum? And this is the amazing thing that he reminds us about what? When we practice our deen and our kalima, you practice the sunnah of Prophet, some things get difficult. Honestly speaking, they get difficult. But Allah Ta'ala says, you know, inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty, there's always ease. With the difficulty, there's an ease. So yaj'al Allah ba'da usri yusra. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that after difficulty will come ease as well. And Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. What do you have to worry about after you hear that ayah? Allah is with those who are patient. Allah is with you. So what do you have to worry about afterwards? So these are the things that the Sahaba knew. Allah Ta'ala gave them mashal because of the yaqeen and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes and doesn't, the next hadith goes and says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَقَدْ أُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٌ وَلَقَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْذَى أَحَدٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I've been put in fear for the sake of Allah. People used to frighten me for the sake of, you know, even though I was such a noble person, for Allah Ta'ala's sake only, while no one else was afraid. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving da'wah before everyone else. And I've been harmed. قَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ. I was harmed for Allah's sake while no one else was harmed. The Prophet said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ بَيْنِ لَيْلَةٍ وَيَوْمٍ. And the Prophet said, 30 nights and 30 days passed upon me. And for I and Bilal, there was no food that any animal could eat. The Prophet said, there was not enough food for us that any animal could eat, except something يُوَارِيهِ إِبْلُ بِلَال, except something that Bilal could keep under his arm. That's the only thing. Why did the Prophet say such things? Because of the da'wah of the Prophet would be so severe and so difficult that they used to chase the Prophet out of Makkah. And so the only thing that the Prophet could bring with them is what Bilal carry underneath his arm and bring it for the Prophet. Such difficulty the Prophet went through for the da'wah of Islam. This is the Nabi alayhi salam, amazing person, rahmatul alameen. Allah describes him, amazing sifa. Allah says, subhanallah asra bi abdihi. Allah says, glory be to the one who made his servant, his slave, travel by night. Allah calls him abd. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called abd. This is such a great honor that if you're a true slave of Allah, Allah says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my true slave. Allah talks about so many great things about Nabi alayhi wa sallam. So we have to understand for ourselves that sometimes what happens is we live our life thinking that we don't have to go through any difficulty or any hardship. Look, if it happened to the Prophet, what happened to us? If you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. And then the Prophet said, be careful what you say. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. He said, be careful what you say. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. He said, be careful what you say. Because if you truly love me, then poverty will rush to you. There's no other way around it. You'll find that the bank account does not add up. No matter how much you're adding, the crunching the numbers, the accountant, no one knows what's happening to you. It's like, this makes no sense. Things just break down. You're like, why is it breaking down? And then what happens? You go for two rakats. You see that Allah opens the doors for you. Because your life should not be in yaqeen in the dunya. You should be a yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we see from Nabi alayhi salam's life. So we find that Anas radiallahu anhu said that neither a morning nor an evening meal of bread and meat was assembled in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So next hadith, that neither a morning or an evening of bread and meat was ever put in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except illa ala dhafafin, except when there was a massive dawah, a huge banquet, then the Prophet would have this food of bread and meat. What do we have all the time? Bread and meat. Yet it's never gratitude from our tongues. This is the thing we need to feel from this chapter. And I mentioned this from the beginning. I don't want to criticize the amount that we're eating. I just want us to be grateful for the fact that we're eating, because we're never grateful anymore. We never make intentions when we eat. The intention should be, yeah, not that, oh, I was hungry, I need to eat. We talked about this. We should be what? Ya Allah, I'm eating this so I can have energy for your ibadah. And subhanAllah, that food will be on the day of judgment, come as our shahada, that you enter Jannah because of this, mashallah. The chickens that we have, our stomachs are what? The qabrastan of many chickens. SubhanAllah, each and every single chicken will come on Qiyamah and say, Ya Allah, we bear witness this man ate us for you. SubhanAllah. Imagine, SubhanAllah. How amazing that day will be. That the food that we ate, Allah, that shahada will come from these things. May Allah grant us that, inshallah. And the last hadith, inshallah, in the chapter, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. So Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, you know him to be very wealthy in the beginning of Islam and during Islam and after Islam. But he went through hardship. The difficulty was always there. He used to give so much wealth for the sake of Allah. You would never ever see him like, you would think that, oh, he's such a wealthy businessman. You would see him as being maybe a very, not so great in the dunya. This is the type of person he was. But at the end of his life, mashallah, Allah, he blessed the Sahaba. He really blessed the Sahaba. The Umar radiallahu anhu, the early areas of Persia and Rome were opened up. So much wealth came into Medina. And so Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was one of them who benefited from that. So they said, Nawfal ibn Iyas says, that can Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu lana jalisan. One day, Abdurrahman bin Auf was a companion for us. And Nawfal says, "Wa kana ni'mal jalis." He said, what a great companion he was. Amazing person to sit with and talk with and converse. Wa idhinna in qalab bina that yawm. He one time he came outside with us. We went out with him. Hatta idha dakhalna baytahu. Then we came back to his house. We entered his house. He said, all you wait a little bit. He went to go take a ghusl to shower up, to clean up. And then he came out to everyone. And then thereafter, mashallah, because he invited everyone, what is he going to do? He's going to feed everyone. Then he said, وَأُوْتِينَ بِصَفْحَةٍ فِيهَا خُبْزٌ وَلَحْمٌ. And so, you know, these vessels and these plates were brought out with bread and meat, mashallah. فَلَمَّا وُضِعَتْ. And as soon as it was placed in front of everyone, and everyone's ready, excited to eat, Baka Abdurrahman bin Auf. Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu started to cry. You're like, what? Amazing experience, everyone's enjoying, is having a good time, and he starts to cry. And so faqultu ya Aba Muhammad ma yubakik. So they said, oh Abu Muhammad, what's Abdurrahman? Why are you crying? He says, faqala halaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. وَلَمْ يَشْبَعْ هُوَ وَأَهْلُ بَيْتِهِ مِنْ خُبْزِ الشَّعِيرِ. The Prophet ﷺ himself and his family never even ate their fill of barley bread. Let alone what kind of fine bread we're eating now. And the meat that we're eating now. And everything that we're enjoying. He says, فَلَا أُرَاهُ أُخِذْنَا لِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَنَا. He says, wallahi, I don't think that what has been delayed for us, what we're eating right now, is better for us. Umar radiallahu anhu saw the wealth of Persia and Rome coming into Medina. He started to cry. He said, ya Allah, if this was good, you would have given to your Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this wealth do to us? It makes us more certain that we'll be here in the dunya. What does this wealth do to us? It makes us more deceived. It makes us more stingy. It makes us more arrogant. It makes us everything. No one even wants to give $5 anymore, knowing that this $5 can save an entire family of Afghanistan, subhanAllah. Small little things you can do can save the entire world. But this wealth has made us so stingy, waliyadu billah. So we have to understand, my main benefit again, the point of this chapter that I wanted everyone to understand was that we need to, first and foremost, make the right intentions when we're doing these things. Second thing is to be extremely grateful for what we have. Because we have so many things people don't have. Abdurrahman is crying because he said, ya, if the Messenger of Allah could have just tasted this food. And then the next chapter is an amazing chapter, which is the chapter of the Prophet ﷺ, how long he lived. All right? How long did the Prophet ﷺ live? Everyone knows the Prophet ﷺ lived 63 years. Okay, when does retirement start in America? 65. You're not even going to make it up today. People have so much yaqeen about these things. Where is it in the time of the Prophet? What did they used to do? The Ansar, the Muhajirin, the Tabi'in, Tabi'ut Tabi'in, the early generations used to say, after 40, we're retiring. Forget it. Because why? Because now we need to get ready to die. Because why? Because we don't know. The Ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, the life of the Prophet Ummah is generally between 60 and 70. Okay, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So this first hadith from Ibn Abbas says, the Prophet was in Makkah for 13 years and Medina for 10 years. So that equals total 63. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says to everyone, he says that, look, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was 63 when he passed away. Abu Bakr radiallahu was 63 when he passed away. Umar radiallahu was 63 when he passed away. Muawiyah was saying, ya Allah, I'm also 63 now. You know, and this is the thing that we need to understand. That subhanAllah, we're waiting for this retirement to start doing da'wah and doing Islam and all these things. You're going to be old man. What can we do at that time? We need to consider for ourselves how little time we have in this ummah while we are alive. And how much regret is there when a person hits the grave? That we had all this wealth, but we didn't spend it for the sake of Allah. Yeah, that's all this time we didn't come for namaz and salah. We didn't do anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day of judgment, so embarrassed. We want to stand with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how far are we? Because our line is so long, because we didn't do anything. So we need to make this intention, inshallah ta'ala. That inshallah, with the remaining time that we have in this life, Allah, maybe 60, 70, Allah ta'ala knows. We think that today might be the last day. The salah should be the last salah. And so we should make intention, inshallah, to do great things in our lives. One place to start off, inshallah, is the ijtima, mashallah, that's coming up for everyone. Alhamdulillah, it's a great experience, a great place to find that boost of iman and that feeling of going out for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, inshallah. We encourage everyone, inshallah, if you have some time, please, please, especially fathers, bring your children, inshallah, ta'ala, so they can see this gathering, inshallah. You know, even if it's just for a couple of hours or some bayans, mashallah, it can be that change that you want to see in your child's life. That subhanAllah, he will start practicing deen, inshallah. Does everyone have intention, inshallah, to go for ijtima? Inshallah. Let's all make intention for 3 days. I'm also making intention, inshallah. I know it's Christmas weekend. Everyone has all the different trees that they want to set up and everything. They're completely fine, inshallah. While you're doing those things, I'm just joking. You're like, boss, I listened to you. Like, I didn't listen to anything else. I listened to this one point. Okay, so let's, inshallah, let's make intention, inshallah, and especially the dua is on Sunday, and the main bayans are on Saturday, mashallah, let's all make intention to go, inshallah. May Allah grant all tawfiq and understanding, allow us to live a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to live upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make use of this beautiful time that we have in this world, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, Shamal is for tomorrow, and inshallah, the last day will be on Friday. So inshallah, I think we might finish the book as well. So if you'd like to come, inshallah, that'd be nice. We'll make a nice dua at the end. So that way Allah to accept this effort that we did over 5 years, mashallah. And the grant is for everyone, inshallah. See? ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين واغفر لنا يا مولانا انك انت الغفور الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين
الحمد لله Thank you.